Welcome to the cultural heart of Southwest Virginia, authentic, distinctive, alive. Each week, we share the stories of the artisans of Round the Mountain and Heartwood, the musicians of the Crooked Road, and the business owners of Southwest Virginia that make up the creative economy of the region. Here's your host, Marketing Director of the Southwest Virginia Cultural Heritage Foundation, Karen Doyle.
Welcome back to the cultural heart of Southwest Virginia, authentic, distinctive, alive. I'm Karen Doyle. We have a very special program for you today. The Crooked Road co-founder Joe Wilson, a folklorist, longtime director, and current chairman of the National Council for the Traditional Arts and Library of Congress Living Legend Award recipients, will be talking with the acclaimed Dr. Ralph Stanley. They're joined by Ralph Stanley Jr., also known as Two, and Dr. Stanley's grandson Nathan, along with Southwest Virginia Cultural Heritage Foundation Director, Todd Christensen. Join me in listening to today's exchange between the group.
I wanted to talk to you about this record here that you've got there. That's a European issue. Here we would call it a bootleg. It has 25 Stanley Brothers songs on it, and they've had their artists work on you there a little bit. And did they give you a mustache there?
Yeah, I got a little mustache.
Is that the only mustache you ever had?
No, you know, I wore them before.
Did you?
Yeah. A little while at a time. Yeah, never regular, but yeah, I've got a little something there.
Yeah, that's it. Those are good for knocking the crumbs off the cookie before you eat it.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. But at any rate, there's 25 songs there, and they go back some of them more than 60 years ago. Little Glass of Wine and Mother No Longer Awaits Me at Home. There's a list of them on the back of the thing.
Otto Taylor wrote Glass of Wine.
Otto Taylor, yeah.
Otto Taylor, you remember him?
I do, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of... I always love the fact that you remember the old-timers and the tradition and all of these things that inform Southwest Virginia and make it what it is, you know. You've got a good grip on that. You made a great contribution to it, but you understand the others who made a contribution to it.
Yeah, I know a few of them, I remember.
There was a radio station that came on near... WOPI was the first radio station in Bristol.
Yeah.
And my great aunt Sally was on there. She was Carolina Sally, and she played an old wood banjo and sung ballads. You probably got to hear that.
I think I remember that.
That was I've got the banjo. I can't play it worth a toot.
You've got the banjo.
Yeah. Next time you come over, we'll get it out. You know and. Use it as a minnow dipper down on the river, you know. Minnow dippers are mighty handy. But anyway, these guys are from Emory. And one of the Chestnut Grove Quartet was from over there, too. I don't remember which one, but it was a great, great...
I didn't know them too well, but I know them. But,
you liked their music?
Yeah.
Yeah, a cappella gospel.
Yeah.
From the Chestnut Grove Methodist Church over here in, it's in Moccasin Gap,
yep.
I guess.
Moccasin Gap.
Yeah. You can buy that record there, that Stanley Brothers record with 25 cuts. It's easy to find. You have to be somewhere between Kazakhstan and Iceland. It's... Europe is between those places, but you can buy it anywhere there. Or you're going to have some of them to sell out on shows.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll catch them and hold matches to their toes till they promise to send some.
Okay.
I also wanted to ask you, Ralph, about there's a lot of come on lines for girls, you know. Us boys have used over the years, you know. And there's sometimes a way to tell them that they've displeased you. I thought that one of the lines in your song is the best way to tell a girl that you've displeased her. Maybe it's not the best way, but it's the way that would really get attention. You know, just I dug on your grave the better part of last night.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
That's from Pretty Polly.
Pretty Polly. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Where'd you learn that song?
Where did I?
Yeah.
I heard my dad sing it.
Yeah. Your dad, Lee Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knew some old ballads like that.
Yeah, he knew some old ones, yeah.
And your mom?
Pretty Polly.
Yeah. Can you remember any of his song?
Yeah, let's see. That's all I can think of right now. Maybe one will come to me.
Okay. And your mom was a great banjo player. Old Clawhammer style.
Old Clawhammer style. Shout Little Lulu.
Yeah. Yeah. She got those records back in the early 20s. Well, that would have been recorded about 28.
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, you was pretty young then.
Yeah. Yeah. A little younger than I am now.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to wear you out. You've already been interviewed by all these television people. And they've had you remember all kinds of things. We've not got to talk to any yet. His name is Ralph Stanley II, but all of us that grew up have always called him Two. And I don't know who threw that at you first.
I think Dad did.
I believe it did.
He always called me Two, and my little boy, Ralph III, calls him Three. So that's simple to remember, I guess.
That's good. He told me, your dad told me something, too, that amazed me a while ago. We were talking about Elvis Presley recording Blue Moon of Kentucky, or the Stanley Brothers. It's on this bootleg from Europe. They recorded Blue Moon of Kentucky, but it's the Elvis Presley version. It's not the Bill Monroe version. Tell us how that happened to be.
Bill was the one that wanted us to record that. He called us up and wanted us to record that. And he was in the studio the day we recorded it.
And he made you record the Elvis version.
Yeah, the Elvis, yeah. Then he recorded then the Elvis. Yeah. Was that before or what?
I think it was after.
Might have been.
I know Elvis loved him, you know.
Yeah.
And it's nice that...
they all did a good job on Joe, didn't
they? They all did a good job, yeah.
I liked all three of the versions.
Yeah, we ought to get Nathan to record that too, you know.
I believe he might be the next Elvis version of that.
The next Elvis version. You know, we're depending on you, Nathan.
I might, but I can't shake my hips like he did, I can tell you. I've had a broke, so I can't shake nothing now.
Well, that's I remember when your dad got the National Heritage Award from the National Endowment for the Arts. That's the best award and main award that our government can give an artist, and played at Ford's Theater there, and you were up there with you was about knee-high to a duck with a little plastic guitar, jumping around on that stage.
Yeah, I was just a little boy, but I remember that more than most things. I was probably, what was that, about 84?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was, I was about 5 years old.
Yeah.
It's 5 or 6 years old. But I remember Jack Cook. Everybody remembers old Jack. Played the bass for Dad for 40 years.
Yeah.
He was reliving the Abraham Lincoln assassination. And I remember that. Showed me how the guy, or Wilkes Booth, jumped off the off the top of the stage, or the where he was sitting up there, and jumped onto the stage and broke his leg or something.
Broke the calcaneus. Ego bone, thickest bone in the body.
Yeah, he did something. I remember Jack Cook explaining that, and there was a great harp player, an old man. And I don't remember his name, but he passed away on the stage playing that harp that day.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I was a producer of that show, you know.
Who was that? Do you remember? I've seen him, but.
I think he got better, though. I don't think he died.
I thought they said he had a heart attack. And
Penland Powers?
No.
A gentleman that was playing at the show. Now, I heard that, or it seemed like I remember that. Seemed like it had always been sunk in my memory.
We thought he was gone, and he stayed in the hospital a long time.
Well, he might have come out of it then, but I thought he... But I remember a lot about that, and that was a great thing for Dad. Sure was.
Yeah. I remember somebody stole Hillard's camera.
Yeah.
The thief got in there somehow and got Hillard's. But one of our security guys caught that guy, and we got Hillard's camera back.
Well, Hillard, he got a lot of stuff stolen. He's just too trustworthy, I guess.
He was a bus driver.
He was a number one guy, Hillard was. I thought a lot of Hillard.
Yeah, he drove a bus for your dad for how long? Many years?
10 or 12 years.
Yeah. About 17 years, I'd say.
Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah, he stayed there a long time. Hillard was a good guy.
Junior was with me about 20 years, his boy.
Yeah.
He drove a lot of brutal trips. I was telling about the story when we about froze to death. He was the one driving then, earlier on the TV show, you know.
Yeah.
He was the driver.
And you drove across the country.
We was in Colorado, 10 below zero, and had to make a show. We had to stop and buy a ski mask. The heat went out in the bus. And we had to wrap him up in blankets. So, it was a brutal time for everybody. I remember Dad in his recliner had a ski mask on and had covers all the way over top of his head. Well, and I was sitting up there with the driver and wrapped him up in blankets. Wrapped around his legs and him driving. Well, we had to make the show. So Hillard was the guy that drove the bus in, yeah.
Making a show, that's a hard way to make a show.
That was one of the toughest ones I'd ever been a part of, but we made it.
Well, I don't want any more weather like that to drive in, you know. So if I go out on the road with you, I want you to hold off on that.
Well, a little better equipment now, I guess. Dad's traveling up. Prevost and stuff, you know.
Well, I thought I think he's got some great equipment. Nobody on earth deserves great equipment more than he does.
But things happen to any of them, no matter, you know, new or old, but they, you know, things happen like that. But that was one time that was lucky we didn't freeze to death, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the truth. That was more, we can laugh about it, but that was really dangerous.
I was in Alaska once, Marty Robbins' bus, but it didn't get us. It didn't get that cold for us. We had the heat turned up. I was just a kid, and I was driving the bus and coming down the Alcan Highway back towards the United States. An old flex bus. You remember those old things? And that beast got. I was running about 80 miles an hour on that gravel. That beast went sideways with me, Rob. Everybody aged about 2 years, and they come out of those bunks back there. And I've been cussed. And I've been cussed out. But that's the best one. You're going to kill all of us, you. But, you know, they're still going, most of them.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Cultural Heart of Southwest Virginia. Authentic, distinctive, alive. On WEHC 90.7. Your college and community radio station. Today we have with us three generations of the Dr. Ralph Stanley family, along with Joe Wilson and Todd Christensen. Let's return to their conversation.
Well, we've asked a few questions. What anything you'd like to contribute here, Nathan? We need to talk about the museum a little bit.
Yeah, the museum, Ralph Stanley Museum in Clintwood, Virginia. It's on the Crooked Road, so. place people can go to see and learn more about my papa's music and Stanley Brothers music and old time music in general. It's a great place to go, and they have several artifacts from the earlier days in my papa's career and clothes and things from past band members. So it's a neat place, and it's a place that all Stanley fans need to put on their itinerary to go.
It's the best museum of that
really
sort
is.
That I know
it
of.
Is.
I know there's a lot of museums about artists around Nashville, but there's not one anywhere as good as that museum.
And also the festival too, Joe. You know, it's the second longest bluegrass running festival in the United States and probably the world.
Tell us when it happens.
It's every Memorial Day weekend. It's at the Hills of Home Park, where Ralph Stanley and Carter was born and raised. And we have three big days there every weekend. It runs Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So everybody keep that in mind. And they can do the museum and the festival at the same time.
Yeah.
So it all kind of goes hand in hand, you know.
12 mile
away, yeah.
I was there early on when your dad was honoring somebody, and I thought it was wonderfully appropriate that he honored his mom one year, and because she made such a great contribution.
On the old stage under the hill,
Yeah, that was beautiful. I'll never forget that.
That's one of my projects too, Joe, is I'm going to try to do my best to find that picture of them and get that old stage revived so people can walk down there, make it accessible, and maybe frame that picture and hang it up down there with them too.
What a great thing. Yeah.
So I hope I can find it. She was in a wheelchair. I've seen the picture.
Yeah, it was
lovely. I don't know where it is now, but I'm sure Dad probably has it.
We're looking at a book called A Guide to the Crooked Road. It's about this little road that winds through southwestern Virginia, goes here and there, starts over close to Union Hall in Franklin County, the bootlegging capital of Earth at one point. And it winds all across, comes through here, it comes through Grayson County. And I think some of the more crooked parts of it's in Grayson County. Though there's a place over in Franklin that's awfully crooked too. And it comes through Washington County and a little bit in Smith, I guess. And then it
Scott
County, goes into Scott and Wise. And it gets up there to Dickinson and goes into a little bit of Lee County. There's music along the road, always has been. It's a way of drawing attention to the music of southwestern Virginia. And you can buy that book here at Heartwood. We're at Heartwood here in Abingdon. And the book, it's a good sized book. It's done by John F. Blair, who sold a lot of copies of it. It has two records in it, two CDs in it, and the CD, one of the CDs should cost as much as the whole price of the operation, I think. What do you sell it for? $20?
$20. I might imagine that book was written by Joe Wilson. I don't know if you heard it.
Oh, I wrote the book. Yeah, I was...
And the music. The music.
I did some of that. I was laying around the house and not doing anything useful, you know, so they gave me a computer to type on. That's a lot easier. You know, we always had to write with one of those yellow pencils where you had to sharpen it every now and then. Dang, computer works a little better than that. And so we learned how to do that. So we wrote some about Dr. Stanley in here. I put several bad lines in there for
you. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We also should introduce the founder of the Crooked Road, sitting over here in the corner, Todd Christensen. when you talk about the crooks and the crooked, there's a lot of crooked road, you know, and but the crook's along the road. He's a chief crook. He's the one that started it all.
I thought they voted you chief crook, but Gettles fixed election. But as I recall, you and I together found the crooked road, Joe.
I guess we did, you know. We didn't have anything else to do that day, you know. So we thought we'd think up the crooked road, you know.
Yeah.
But the crooked road does go to Clintwood. And the reason it goes to Clintwood is because Nathan, your papa, inspired us to do that. And we wanted that museum on the road. And we wanted him on the road because he'd been good to all of his friends down through the years. He never forgot where he was from, you know.
That's right. It's a great place.
I don't know why. You never even thought of living in Nashville, did you?
No, I never wanted to.
I know they got you down in Florida for a while, but you came right back, you know. It's like turning my home and pigeon loose. It's straight to the mountains.
Yeah, down there about 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's as much time as you ever needed away from
home.
Yeah, from Dickinson County. Yeah. Well, I don't. You still go to church at the old regular Baptist?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way of singing.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a great, great way of harmony singing. Mm-hmm. That's the old regulars. The only instrument is the voice.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, what else? Is there anything else that we haven't covered?
We've covered pretty good, I believe, haven't we? There's probably more, but I can't think of it right now.
Well, we want to thank everybody in Emory for taking care of those people way back there when, and having a radio station before anyone else. And I want y'all to tell the president of the college that you invented radio down here. Well, not you, your predecessors invented radio in Southwest Virginia, so they ought to support you all. But the cost of that is you have to play Stanley records, you know. That's Stanley Brothers and Ralph Stanley. And Ralph Stanley II has a great new song now called Bluefield. And,
yeah, that's done real good, Joe, sure is.
And that's because the deputy shoots the sheriff, doesn't he?
Making liquor, yeah.
Yeah.
Gets called up.
Yeah, that's...
That's a good story, sure is.
It is a good story. It brings up to date that old Bob Marley, who shot the sheriff.
Yeah. You know,
it was the deputy back
then. Yeah, that's right.
And Marley says he shot the sheriff, but he did not shoot the deputy. I don't know. How do you do in yours? Did you shoot the deputy too?
I think the deputy just ended up, I guess, going to the electric chair at the end of the...
Oh, darn.
How'd that end up there? Death row, yeah.
Yeah, that's so, you know, I like good cooking, but that's not the way I want it to end.
He said he made whiskey, but God knows he'd never kill.
Yeah,
but he didn't know he was that close when he let his shotgun go.
Yes, it's a good story song.
Yeah,
and it's Bluefield, and the guy that sings it is Ralph Stanley II.
Yeah, everybody check that out. It's good.
I'm going to go buy me a copy of that since you didn't bring me.
But I might have to just.
No, I'm going to go. I want to buy it. You know, I'd really have you feeling guilty.
All right. Okay.
Nathan, what are you going to record next?
My latest project's a traditional country album. You
sung with a lot of different people on it.
Me and Papa are singing the song, me and Ralph II. And me and Marty Stewart, Ben Skill, Patty Loveless, Ricky Skaggs. And there's 19 guest artists with me on it, singing with me.
If I could sing, I know you would have invited me to sing.
Next one I will.
I'll try to learn to sing.
Okay.
You're 19 years old.
19, yeah.
Well, you sure have made a great contribution for a 19-year-old. And you kept your grandpa mighty proud of you, and we're glad for that.
Well, I appreciate it.
And we ought to shut up and let everybody go home. So we know how to do that. Thank you so much.